Thank you, Ben. Wonderful as usual. I love it when James says, you may not believe this, but we got music from somewhere this morning, and I trust you've never heard music from Willy Wonka in church before. You know, you hear a lot of things in Unity you don't hear anywhere else. Bev said something a moment ago, and I need to mention it because it's in my head, and I got a little laugh going on in the back of my head all through this. She said that we have 350 seats in here, and there's plenty of room for you to space out. I'm not sure, honey, that I would encourage them to do that, but it's Unity. Why not, huh? Well, as Bev mentioned, let me get my... We are taking a look at imagination during this month. And during this year, we're looking at what we call in Unity the 12 powers of man. That was Charles Fillmore's book. And I want to stress to you again that these powers, or these faculties, as we might call them, are interrelated. They're connected with each other. They're not 12 powers floating around out there individually somewhere. And this was helpful to me. When I first heard about the 12 powers, I was a little skeptical back in the early days of my learning about Unity, because 12 just seemed too convenient. You know, there's 12 hours, there's 12 apostles, there's 12 zodiac signs right on down the line. And wow, look at this, there are 12 powers. But I came to realize that these are 12 of our spiritual faculties that we have operating within us all the time. These are the ones that we have identified and given names to, and they're very useful as we see them working together. But for me, they became much more real and helpful when I realized they were all connected. And then when I started seeing the connections, I was like, wow, so I'm going to speak some this morning about how these are working together in us. Now, to begin with, there are three questions I'd like to invite you to consider with me this morning. The first one is, what is imagination, really? So let me give you some technical definitions here from the works of Charles Fillmore, as I lovingly call him Papa Charlie. An image is a mental representation of anything that is not actually present to the senses. Everything that is manifested was first a mental picture and was brought into expression by the forming power of the imagination. Man accumulates a mass of ideas about substance and life, and with his imagination, he molds them into shape. Each one of us must not only see the image of our desires as a theory, but we must also form it into a living, breathing thing through every motive and act. Man gets the ideal images necessary to express his perfect organism from the one perfect mind. And now a shorter one, but to expand on that a little bit, Papa Charlie says, the imagination is the faculty of mind that images and forms. It is the power to shape and form thought. Through this faculty, the formless takes form. With our imagination, we lay hold of ideas and clothe them with substance. Now, I suspect that many of you, like I did, grew up in a time when the imagination was something that was childish. Adults didn't have imaginations. You grew out of it, unfortunately, at some point in time, and it was just the kids. How many of you either knew a child or yourself had an imaginary friend somewhere along the way? They were very real to you, or whoever it was imagining, yes. But adults expected the child at some point to grow out of that and lose their imaginary friend. I think that is so sad. I had a friend one time who, she was in her early 50s, and she was haunted by her mother's voice telling her to get your head out of the clouds. She was very creative and had an active imagination, and even as an adult, that still haunted her. Get your head out of the clouds. Stop imagining. And we do that all the time. I had one gentleman in counseling one time in a similar situation. His father had told him, stop daydreaming. You got to make something of yourself. And interestingly enough, the way some people have made something of themselves is through daydreaming and through the use of imagination. But we don't always recognize that, and we do a terrible injustice to children when we take that away from them. Let me give you some examples of imagination that are very recent, very, very recent. This morning, Bev was getting her oatmeal ready for Sunday breakfast. Same breakfast every Sunday, instant oatmeal. And for some reason, they've changed the formulation or something. It's been boiling over in the microwave. And every Sunday it's the same thing. Look at this. And this morning she came in and said, you know what I thought? I think I'll put it in a bigger bowl. She had never done that before, but somehow she got that idea. That was imagination at work. She said, what if I put it in a bigger bowl? What would happen? That's imagination operating. Yesterday we had the grandkids over, and I know you get tired of hearing about the grandkids, but deal with it. The two grandkids were over with their father, and the older, the four-year-old granddaughter, was in the pool, and I was entertaining the almost two-year-old. And I finally got him to sit on the edge of the pool. We got a real shallow end, and do his feet in the pool like this, and he got a little more engaged. And I reached down, I got a handful of water like this and let it run out the bottom of my hand like that. And he did it one time too. And all of a sudden he just stopped, got perfectly still, kind of stared off in space. He jumped up, ran in the house, and got a bag of toys and brought them out. And this bag had all the toy kitchen utensils in, you know, bowls and plates and saucers and boilers and things like that. And he took them out and arranged them there, and he filled up the orange one and poured it in the green one. And picked up the green one and poured it in the yellow one and poured that one in the blue one and then poured it back in the pool and just laughed and then did it again. Now he was sitting there doing something else, and all of a sudden he got that image of playing with the toys in the water. What was that? Imagination. It was operating within him. That thought came and it took form. So this happens all the time. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever eaten an M&M?
Yeah, I can't say it, but you probably have eaten it. M&M.
You know, the candy stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, by the handful, huh?
It's an interesting fact that there are 56 varieties of M&Ms. Most people just know the little ones with the chocolate in them. Well, at first they put peanuts in them. And then there was almonds, and then there was all kinds of other stuff. Now you can get caramel and peanut butter in them too. So how did that come to be? How did that come from one little bitty piece of chocolate candy to this 56 varieties? Imagination. Somebody was sitting around and said, hey, what if we do this? And I want you to notice how often you say what if, or if you don't say what if. To me, that's the startup for imagination. That's the kickstarter on imagination. What if? What if? I hadn't thought about this before, but what if? One more candy fact, and then I'll move on from there. How many of you like peanut butter cups? Yeah? Yeah? Well, Reese's has made a big company out of peanut butter cups. Somebody thought one day, I love chocolate and I love peanut butter. Oh, what if we put peanut butter inside the chocolate? What a cool idea. And along the way, somebody said, why don't we put the peanut butter on the outside and the chocolate on the inside? Evidently, that didn't go over very well. It didn't last very long. But there are 89 varieties of peanut butter cups, Reese's peanut butter cups. It's amazing. Some of those are just offered in foreign countries, but they're still there. And every one of those result of imagination. It's working all around us. Now, what if that person who invented some of those 89 flavors had been haunted by a voice in the past that said, stop daydreaming, get your head out of the clouds? We'd probably have one variety of peanut butter cup, right? And that would not be good. So we find it operating all around us. Now, the second question I would ask, not only what is imagination, but why is it so important? Why do we take time to look at it? Why do we take time to think of it? Why do we take time to study it? Why did Charles Fillmore include it in the 12 powers and speak about it and teach about it? Because what we find out when we do the study is that imagination is interconnected with and interdependent with all the other faculties, all the other 11 faculties that we will look at through this coming year. We've already looked at faith. That happened in January. Faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with our ability to shape substance. Right? And last month we looked at power. Humankind is the power of God in action. The mind and the body of humankind have the ability to transform energy from one plane of consciousness to another. So power says we have the ability to transform energy from one level of consciousness to another. Now, by themselves, faith and power might be a little bit dangerous in a way. What if you just went forming stuff all over the place without any kind of thought about it, any kind of plan, whatever else? What if you started transmuting energy from one level to the other, not knowing what you're doing, just doing it? That probably would not work out very well. Thus, imagination. Imagination is what guides that forming that we do with faith, our ability to make things happen. Imagination is the guidance, it's the method, it's the purpose, it's the meaning in our use of power, which can transmute energy from one dimension to another. It's imagination that allows us to make those choices. What if I'm working with power, and what if I start in this dimension and transmute this energy to this dimension? What if I do that? That's imagination at work. And you can do it however you want to. You can start wherever you want and finish wherever you want, because imagination is wide open. What about with faith? Imagination guides faith to do that good work that we do when we shape substance in the way that we choose to. So imagination is always there, and it's always important for us. Now, we'll find out a little later on, I'm not going to talk much about right now, but you know there are also faculties called wisdom and understanding. Now, just as imagination informs faith and power, wisdom and understanding helps guide imagination. And before long, we're going to have this loop, and we're going to find out that every faculty we have informs or works with every other one in some way. And that makes a whole lot more sense to me. And I've become much more endeared to the 12 powers than ever before because of that understanding. So let that soak in a little bit and see how that works for you when you think about the 12 powers. So why is imagination important? Because it guides all the other things that are happening. It guides our creative ability. We can say, what if this? One thing that imagination does for us is it takes a whole, and Mr. Fillmore mentioned it when he said, man accumulates a mass of ideas about substance and life. We have all kinds of things floating around in our head at any given moment, and we see things out in the world that give us ideas. And all those things just kind of run around bumping into each other. But imagination says, what if I took this thing over here, which is all by itself, and this thing over here, which is all by itself, and put them together? Peanut butter and chocolate. What happens? Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And we have all those things in our head. That's the way I work on sermons. I fill my head full of stuff. And someone said one time, an old minister told me one time, that the way you preach is that you study yourself full, you pray yourself hot, and you get in the pulpit and explode. I've tried that and it works. But I tend to fill my head with all kinds of information, do lots of research in preparation for a sermon. And I usually have enough material for 6 or 7 sermons in my head at any given time. But those ideas bouncing around up there aren't much good until imagination kicks in. I say, but wait a minute, what about I take this idea and hook it to the backside of this idea? And what if I turn this one upside down and this one rotate it to the right and put them together? What happens? And that's where some of these crazy ideas you hear from up here come from. It's from the imagination bringing those things together into form. While those ideas and thoughts and information and facts are floating around in my head, they don't have any real meaning in and of themselves until they come together with others. And imagination allows us to do things like that. So it is important. It is important to all of us, and maybe even more important to adults than children. Because children find ways to play no matter what. But when we give up imagination, we adults get kind of stodgy, and we get kind of locked into the way things are. Just think about, when's the last time you said, what if, in the context of doing something different than you've done before? What if I say this instead of this? What if I think this instead of this? When somebody pushes my button, what if I do this instead of that? Let your imagination help you. Use your faith, use your power, and use those other faculties that are waiting to be activated within you. Now, the third question is not only what is imagination and why is it important, but what are we going to do with this understanding that we have about imagination now? That brings to mind the story, the old story of the tourist who's in New York City, and he goes up to a native New Yorker on the street and says, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? And the New Yorker says, Practice, 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 yes. Well, that's how we get good with imagination, is to practice, is to use it, to experience it, to find out, well, I connected these things with my imagination and it didn't work very well. So I'll let that one go, but this one worked really great. So I'm going to do that one again. Practice, practice, practice. Now, there's some really practical applications of this power of imagination. Next week, I'm going to be speaking about imagination and prosperity. That's a pretty practical application, would you think? The next week is imagination and healing. That's something else people are interested in. And then the last week is going to be really fun. That's when some of all this bouncing around stuff comes together. Imagination and the unimaginable. Don't want to miss that one. So there are practical applications of these things. Another application that I've used in counseling with people before in using imagination, if there's something not right about it, let's say someone has some kind of illness that's interfering with them living fully and completely. What if you imagine, what would happen if I could wave a magic wand and suddenly your illness was completely gone and you were totally healed? What would you do? I don't know. Use your imagination. Create a scenario. What would you do if you weren't limited by your physical condition? What would be the first thing you do? I'd go for a bike ride. I'd go for a walk. I'd take a vacation, whatever, okay? Imagine yourself doing one of those things. It costs you nothing. Allow your mind to create the possibilities. Well, I would really enjoy that. Well, imagine yourself enjoying that. Scientists have found that whatever you imagine, your body to some degree duplicates. If you imagine yourself running, your body begins to create an internal situation that represents the experience of running. Charles Fillmore used the example, and this has been a long time ago. They put somebody on a scale, and some kind of balancing scale, and said, you know, you solve this elaborate equation. And as they were doing it, the blood flow went to their head, and they went like this. Said, okay, now, clear that out. Now, think about yourself running somewhere. The blood went to their legs, and they went like this. So the body responds to your imagination. So use it. It's powerful. It can be a great blessing for us. I was talking to somebody recently saying they love going to museums, but they weren't able to stand and walk like they once could. And I said, well, use your imagination. Well, I don't know what's in the museum. Guess what? Most all of the great museums, the Louvre, I know in Paris, has their whole museum online. You can do a virtual tour of the Louvre. I think most, if not all, of the Vatican Museum is also online. And you can sit down and take a tour of the museum. So do that and then use your imagination of being back there again. As you see the video going forward and imagine yourself taking the steps, use your imagination and watch what happens. That's a very practical application of it. Another thing that I often teach people to do when someone comes in and says, I don't know what to do. I've got to decide whether to live here or live there. And I don't know what to do. I'm just confused over it. And I say, okay, let's take a look at that. What I encourage you to do is imagine, living in Miami. Imagine what it would be like living in Miami, which means you get a picture in your head. What would you feel like living in the heat of Miami, in the humidity? What about the traffic? What about the beautiful buildings, the art, the music, all the things that are available there? What would that feel like to be in the middle of that and to experience that? So let that get set in your mind, then release it and say, all right, now, what would it be like to be living in Denver at altitude? Instead of zero sea level, you're at a mile at sea level. What would that be like? What would it be like to be in the winters in Denver? What would the people be like? What about hiking in the mountains? How would that feel to you? What would you imagine that? And after each one of those, check in and see how your body feels. Most of you can locate a place in your body where your body speaks to you, stressful. A lot of people, it's right here. A lot of people get a headache or can feel it in their head. So imagine both of those possibilities. Play it all the way through as much detail as you possibly can, and then check in and see how your body feels. And I found that 99 times out of 100, what happens then gives you the right answer. Tells you what is the appropriate thing to do. If when I think about Miami and I check in with my body and I feel kind of tight, and then I think about Denver I'm partial to Colorado anyway. But I think about not Denver, Colorado Springs is better. But you check in your body and your body feels free and open. Well, that's a big support right there in making the decision. You want to live where you feel tight all the time, or you want to live where you feel open and free all the time? And I found this amazing. I had people call me later and say, hey, I did what you told me to do, and I made the exact right decision. I'm happy as I can be in it. Yeah, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. It works that way. Now, there's some other things you can do with your imagination that are, they're helpful in your personal growth, but they're kind of fun, too. If you're a Democrat, imagine what if you believed in what the Republicans believe. What if? What would that be like? What would your life be like? What would your discussions be like? Same thing, if you're a Republican, imagine holding Democratic principles. How would that play out? What if you felt that way? What if you're an independent and you imagine being some other way? What if you imagine being a Buddhist? What if you imagine being an atheist? Imagine that. Play that through and see what it's like, and see what that brings up for you. It's really interesting when you do things like that. Yeah. What if you imagine being a different race, living in a different country, being a different gender? What if? What if? What if? And play with those things. It's kind of interesting when you do that. And you'll learn some things about yourself when you do that as well. Then there's, I talked about religion already. So you can see the possibilities here. What if? What if I did this? What if I thought this? What if I felt this? What would happen then? And see what that informs you about. What kind of new information about yourself comes up in that context? But use it, practice it. It costs you nothing. It takes very little time. You can take seconds to do it and then get about what you're doing. But I would encourage you to get your head in the clouds. I would encourage you to keep daydreaming. Use your imagination. I want to close with a quote. Actually, Papa Charlie used it in one of his books. It's a quote from Shakespeare. He was quite fond of Shakespeare. And after you read the books for a while, you begin to recognize passages from Shakespeare in the book that aren't credited to Shakespeare. And I've told you this before, but just to remind you that at this time, the writers didn't have the same idea about copyrights as we do. None of Charles Fillmore's work was copyrighted, because he believed that truth belonged to the universe, and who can claim that? And a lot of the early New Thought writers did that. So when he puts a quote in there and doesn't give Shakespeare credit, he's not plagiarizing. He just doesn't think it's important. It doesn't really matter. So he does that. But in this case, he did give Shakespeare credit. This is a section out of Midsummer Night's Dream. I never may believe these antique fables nor these fairy toys. Lovers and madmen have such seething brains, such shaping fantasies that apprehend more than cool reason ever comprehends. The lunatic, the lover, and the poet are of imagination all compact. One sees more devils than the vast hell can possibly hold, that is, the madman. The lover, all as frantic, sees Helen's beauty in a brow of Egypt. The poet's eye, in fine frenzy rolling, doth glance from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven, and as imagination bodies forth the forms of things unknown, the poet's pen turns them to shapes and gives to airy nothing a local habitation and a name. Such tricks hath strong imagination, that if it would but apprehend some joy, it comprehends some bringer of that joy. Or in the night, imagining some fear, how easy a bush supposed a bear. I like that. So I would say to you in closing, practice, practice, practice. God bless you.
Now before your imagination gets carried away, wondering if Lawrence would rather be in Denver. Thank you. How does your heart feel living in Fort Lauderdale? I want you all to know that when Lawrence and I in 2014 met, and oh my goodness, most of you know this story, we just fell so much in love. He was living in Memphis, And those of you who think that I may have batted my eyes at him and twisted his arm to move to Florida, that was not the case. He was the one who said, I'll move to Florida, let's get married. So there we are.
Thing I ever did.
Well, now we get to a point of prosperity teaching will be next week. But here's a thing that really some people just have some red flags go up with the idea of a church, a spiritual community, asking for money. And I want you to know that we have no other source than those who give to us. And those who give to us, we appreciate every amount. I want you to know that Lawrence and I tithe. We give 10% of our gross income every month. Our board members believe in giving generously because we feel this is the source of our spiritual support. And I know many of you have found friendships and activities and social circles and spiritual inspiration here. So I want to thank you for considering giving to that source. For indeed, that's how we sustain this property and our staff and our musicians and everything we have going on. You all live in this community, most of you, those who are coming online. We really appreciate you contributing to what you're receiving from tuning into our services. So with much gratitude for all that you give, let's bless everything now with our good old offering blessing with good that we've used for many, many months, if years now, actually. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack, and we allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. An ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.